Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with New Orleans-based jazz bassist Quinn Sternberg on the 2022 CD Cicadia Songs. He honors the millions of insects that inexplicably all agree to appear at the same time after 17 years underground, somehow communicating that it's time to see the sunlight for the first time in their lives. With one mind, they climb out of the ground, shed their skins, and start singing. Then after a several week-long concert, they exit stage left for a well-deserved 17-year set break. This Bloomington, Indiana-born musician is on yet another musical adventure, and we talked to him back in January of 2020 before things got strange, and we covered a lot of ground in this interview. Enjoy.
The last time we interviewed was 2018, correct?
I think the last interview was like January 2020.
Oh, you know what?
It could have been like December 2019, but it was right before all this mess.
Which just heightens the whole like microscope over what we're living through right now. I think, you know, as with all of us, there's certain things that we retain and don't. But yeah, I think I do remember, you know, because we were just kind of going through the motions and, you know, the year was opening up. Everybody was all like, Barbara Walters 2020, let's go. And then.
Yeah. Yeah, things were looking good.
Yeah. Then the piano just dropped on our heads. So, But at any rate, man, it's great to hear from you. I'm so glad that you reached out. And
yeah, thanks for having me on again, man.
Yeah, totally, man. The premise of this album is fascinating with the Cicadias. And, you know, the 17-year hiatus and that whole thing, we had that happen in Kansas City like 5 years ago, and it was deafening, the sound coming out.
Yeah, there's a 13-year and a 17-year, right?
Yes. I believe so.
Yeah, you must have gotten that 13. It's pretty intense. We didn't really have it in New Orleans, but I took one trip back home to Bloomington to get a taste, and it's just bedlam. You know, they're flying
it's
in your
insane.
Car window.
Yeah, and the shells are everywhere, and it's amazing. So I guess before we kind of leap into the entirety of this, let's start from the beginning. Talk to me a little bit about the history of these bugs that we deal with after a long time and how it motivated you to make an album.
Okay, cool. I mean, I'm probably less of a cicada expert than I should be, but I grew up in kind of a smaller town in Indiana, Bloomington, where there's a lot of woods, and it's just really crazy when the cicadas are in that 17-year loop, and we had it a couple times where I was growing up where my entire yard was just unwalkable. And so it was kind of funny this last year with it being another 17-year cycle, talking to all my new friends in New Orleans about it, because they don't really know about this phenomenon in the South. So part of my inspiration for making it a cicada-based album was just to bring awareness to this very weird thing that happens. But from a musical standpoint, the comparison is kind of, with my bands, I like to play in a way where there's not necessarily anyone on the forefront as like a traditional rhythm section soloist mentality. It's just kind of the whole band creating this big texture together that kind of works symbiotically to get bigger and bigger and ebb and flow. And I think that kind of relates to music made by animals like bird song and whale song, cicada song, where they just kind of thousands of creatures merge together to create this one kind of cacophony. And one of the songs was very literally inspired by cicadas, where I kind of grabbed a rhythm I heard them singing in rural Louisiana and made a bass line out of it. But the other songs, the comparison's a bit more abstract.
And it's fascinating. I've heard other musicians that used to do this. Someone was telling me how Eric Dolphy used to go out, and his regular routine was to go outside, and literally, as the birds were doing their thing and whistling and singing, he would literally take it, whatever he would grab out of whatever sound, whatever bird, and just go with it. And
yeah,
that was kind
of a fun way to engage. I've tried to kind of play with birds before where I'll be outside, and it seems like they can kind of engage with an instrumentalist. If you make the harmony too complex, they'll kind of fly away, but you can get a nice simple song going.
Absolutely. So talk to me a little bit about what you're hoping the listener gets from this. I mean, there's always kind of a method behind an album, but this is very hyper-specific, and there's a lot that's gone into this album. What are you hoping the listener gets?
Well, you know, on the surface level, I just hope people enjoy the songs, because it was a lot of fun to put this one together, but I hope it's kind of a unique listening experience as far as timbre and just the way the band interacts. I tried to kind of up my game compositionally and do some kind of different song forms I hadn't before. So I hope it's kind of a take on the Black American music tradition that will be a little bit fresh for people. And, you know, maybe people can Google cicadas too.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, and it's interesting, I find, you know, as you probably very well know, being in the Midwest, when you start talking to people about tornadoes that are on the coasts or don't understand them, it's always interesting to kind of open that door up to people, like with this here. Like, people literally don't live it. There's no way that they can understand it. Like, I don't know that I understood it. Maybe I heard it when I was a kid and didn't realize it. But when it happened recently, and it was, like you said, it was probably the 13-year bug. But it was the loudest thing I'd ever heard. And I try to capture it on my phone, and it just sounds like it's a buzz. It's like you can't pick it back up.
Yeah, it's just fully immersive.
Yeah.
Totally bizarre. Yeah.
It's like that chapter out of the Bible. It's like you're just getting the plague just come down and you're getting attacked, you know.
It's really one of the most interesting natural things I think I've experienced. I was a little disappointed to only catch a couple of days of it this time, but all my friends back home were like, dude, you don't want to be here.
Yeah. Well, you know, let's go back to January 2020 just a little bit. And, you know, of course, we had no idea what was going to happen. And now we're 2 years into this thing. So my question is, you know, what have you learned about yourself over this time that maybe you didn't realize before that's going to make you stronger as you – we all are kind of in this reemerging point now where things are slowing down. Hopefully we get out. Vaccinations have been spread. What do you hope? What did you learn that's going to make you stronger as you do promote this album and get back out?
Well, I think for myself and a lot of New Orleans musicians, the pandemic kind of opened our eyes to how hard we were kind of hustling. Because New Orleans, the culture is there's just as many gigs as you could want if you're willing to grind for 12 gigs a week. And there were a lot of us, I think, who having our first month off in years, thought like, whoa, I've been running myself ragged. So it's kind of nice coming out of that a little bit to have realized, like, you know, I really value my creative projects, and there are certain hustling gigs that are fun, but, you know, you don't need to throw yourself into work and make yourself available for every single possible gig, and you can put more into things like creating an album or really being present on every gig if you're giving yourself a little more time to reflect and relax.
And I think the other side to that is, as being a part of this jazz community, so many cats have picked up production skills and things that were never applicable before just because we, you know, there had to be a level of self-reliance. And I think there's been this awakening of Bandcamp Fridays and what streaming services are doing. So I guess my question is, how do you see the jazz community reemerging stronger after all of this has happened?
Well, I do think there's more creative projects coming out. It seems like there was a lot of people who just used the time to finally have hours to rehearse and time to compose when maybe they were just working all the time before. I know that's kind of what allowed me to do this record, was just being able to focus on something other than work for a bit. And I think things like Bandcamp are really valuable in helping us share our music and making, putting out a record or something like that, a more financially viable thing to do as well. But yeah, I think a lot of it was just a refocusing on creative pursuits, and just, there's a lot of things to be inspired by right now because people have been working on awesome music for the last 2 years.
I think another part of this that's been probably the most jolting, I mean, you touched on a lot of creative things happened because people had latitude to do it, but I think the biggest jolt that happened is that live music was gone, and everybody loves live music, and I don't know that we understood how much we loved it. So my question is, as we do reemerge, and hopefully things open up, warm weather comes, and things get better, what do you hope we all realize about the power of music, both the musician and all of us in the audience?
I hope that people realize it's not just a fact of life, that people will always be there to play music for you, and you can just walk into a club and it can be background. I think even for musicians, it was kind of, like you were saying, jolting to just not have it there anymore. So I hope people will be more amenable to things like paying cover charge and maybe buying a record, even though you can stream it. I hope musicians will be more willing to go to each other's shows and support it now that we've maybe had this experience, to take things less for granted.
Absolutely. Quinn, man, it's been great to catch up with you about this wacky world we're living in, the album, and good luck with it.
Yeah, thank you. Take care,
Cheers.
Man.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest cats in Indiana, New Orleans, Kansas City, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. Thanks to Quinn for his time, music, and story. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino in the iTunes Store. Visit NeonJazz at YouTube.com, and for everything Neon Jazz, all the time, go to the NeonJazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.